We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
He is a former Steelers quarterback. It is Steelers Raiders week. He was once honored by the Raiders pregame before the Steelers lost to the Raiders in Oakland because of an X-ray machine. He also came in here in 09-1. He's also been bandied about as a candidate for the USC job. Bruce Gradkowski back with us on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Bruce.
You're the greatest, brother. I did. I was just, you know, just got off the phone going from St. Francis High School to USC. Never know.
Well, I think you'd probably do better than Clay Helton did.
You going to take us with you?
I might need some bodyguards.
Do you think your style of coaching would work better in the college game or in the NFL?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I think my style of coaching works good nowadays. Like, just how I am, how I relate to players. I've just kind of noticed that a little bit. I mean, I don't know. It's not all to do with because I played the game, but it's kind of how, you know, I want to be treated or talked to or taught, and how I learn and how I understand how people learn differently. We all learn differently. Some visual learners, some need the reps to learn. And I don't know. I really do think it would fit either way, college or NFL. I do think college would be fun because you're getting guys right out of high school, and they're truly just starting to develop. And college is when you really can develop a lot. So that would be fun. But I think the NFL is what I've been used to the most, because I played there probably the longest and just got out of it. So, you know, I was telling my cousin the other day, I was like, I probably would be a better NFL head coach right now than a high school head coach because I'm used to the time frame, the practice schedules, all that. But, man, it makes me have a lot of respect for these coaches because, man, it's not easy winning week in and week out and game plan and all that stuff.
Bruce, these kids like you because you were actually out there when the proverbial bullets were flying, and you can speak from real experience. You're not some glorified gym teacher with a dip in telling them to do bear crawls. That's why they like you.
You mean like Joe Judge?
Basically, yeah. I mean, although he's made it to the highest level being that guy.
Yeah, he won't last long, though.
Yeah. Here, Bruce, that was my way of kind of softening things up with a little joke. Tell me what the hell happened with the Ben Roethlisberger grade. The lowest graded quarterback in the NFL? Come on.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, because you guys have Steve Palazzolo on, right?
He's on next hour.
He's the best. So Steve helps me every week.
Are you passing the buck? Is that what this is already? Are you passing the buck to Steve?
I'm not passing the buck. All I'm saying is every weekend, Steve grabs a couple games, I get the rest. But we go through everything together. So if there's a throw that's in question, we raise awareness to the group, we look at it, and we come about it. The thing that happens, though, guys, when you're looking at grades, if there's no, you know, big explosive plays, and if there's, you know, if there's a few turnover-worthy plays that happen in the course of the game, you're not going to grade very well. So you'll see a guy like Dak Prescott. I mean, he had 5 big-time throws for us. But he was what, I think our 10th best passing grade. So it's accumulation of everything compiled together.
Well, explain to our listeners who aren't as familiar with Pro Football Focus, what is a big-time passing play? How do you guys define that, Bruce?
So a big-time throw for us, I mean, is basically a throw that the quarterback with the ball placement, the amount of yards that, you know, the ball probably travels, that the throw is what was the reason for the completion or the big throw, big play.
Okay.
You know, that it was away from coverage. It was, you know, just a dime downfield that the throw made it what it was. You know, there's plays in a game where a quarterback should make the play. You know, a screen pass, a hitch, something that's simple and easy. We're not going to give a quarterback, you know, a positive grade or grade for something that essentially, you know, Chris, you should be able to hit. And so I really like our grading system and how we do it. But at the end of the day, too, though, if you're not, you know, pushing the ball downfield or having some big plays downfield, and then there's also if you turnover-worthy plays involved in there, then that's kind of how the grade can get kind of low at times.
All right, Bruce, I've got three throws from Ben in this game, though, and you know me. What's my usual reputation when Ben is the subject here?
You usually bash him every chance
right?
you get.
I'm the guy who's too harsh. You're the guy telling me I'm being too mean to Ben. But I got three throws here that I know they're not long throws, but they're every one of them's big time. Touchdown to Deontay Johnson's a great catch, but it's also a great throw right over the fingertips of the corner. The little back shoulder play to Juju down the seam I thought was a great throw. And then 3rd and 8 to Claypool, man. No one else in the stadium other than Chase Claypool is going to be able to catch that ball. I thought that was like a perfecta from him. That's why I was so surprised to see his grade so low.
Yeah, and you talk about the one Claypool went up and grabbed.
No, I'm talking 3rd and 8, he throws
in the fourth quarter.
Just past, I think, Tre'Davious White was in coverage or somebody.
To set up the Boswell field goal to put him up 10.
Just barely outstretched past the defender's fingertips, and Claypool had to make a great hands catch because the ball was in the only place it could be.
And Ben, he did. He made some really good throws in the game. They're just, you know, some of them weren't far downfield, and others, you know, there just wasn't a ton of them. So at the end of the day, I mean, I think he made some really good plays, you know, so I can't argue those.
When you talk about downfield, where does downfield start, Bruce? 15 yards, 20 yards, 25? Like, for you guys in the way Pro Football Focus grades a quarterback, what is a downfield throw?
Yeah, I mean, it's probably like 18 to 20, you know, past 18 yards,
okay.
I would say. You got the, you know, 1 to 9 yard range. Then you have intermediate range, 10 to 19 yards, and 20 plus throws are downfield. But, you know, I can always kind of say that 18 yard range is when it starts, because a lot of times you can have a big in route, you can have an out route. And at times, if those are on target versus tight coverage, those could become a big time throw. You know, when you, and those are the ones that are on the borderline, you know, 15 to 18 yards, it's got to be essentially perfect and it's got to be in super tight covers. Now, once you get past that, and it's a tight throw or it's far downfield and it's a dime, now you're talking the big time throws downfield.
Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Were there turnover worthy plays there from Ben, too? Like, for example, when he throws an interception but a flag gets thrown on that play and it gets negated, does that count as a turnover-worthy play, Bruce?
Yeah, yeah. We count every throw, every play. Now, in the same sense, though, too, if, you know, there's sometimes, and I know Ben's really good at this, if he knows the defense jumps offside and he, you know, forces one in there, I give him the benefit of the doubt.
So you don't grade that negative?
No, I wouldn't grade that negative, no.
Okay.
Because I understand what Ben's trying to do. I understand he drew the defense offside, that now he knows he has a free play. Aaron Rodgers does it really well. Patrick Mahomes does it really well. Patrick Mahomes had a couple of those that he did, you know, he did really well. So because those guys know how to take advantage of those situations like that.
Would you say that from all the did you grade all 32 quarterbacks or 16 or a dozen? Like, what number would you say, Bruce, would be accurate from week one?
From week one, I did every game but two games.
Okay.
So two games, that's 14. So you saw 28 quarterbacks then? Yeah.
So would you say that the Steelers' offense was it the most conservative in terms of dink and dunk in short throws that you saw?
No, I don't. I mean, I know Ben's average depth of target was like around 6.2 or so. Just from, you know, the naked eye and me just not looking at numbers.
Yep.
No, I don't think it was ultra conservative. I mean, I think I do like this offense. I like what Matt Canada is trying to do. I like the shifts and motions. I like the unique formation. I like how he's trying to get to certain plays and so forth and getting kind of, you know, gaps in the defense, finding those holes. I like that stuff. And it's going to take time for everyone to kind of get on the same page. The thing I love the most, I mean, you go into Buffalo, you're facing a really good team defensively, offensively, and you find a way to win. You know, yep. At the end of the day, you know, that's where the Steelers have always been really good. That's where Ben has always been really good. That's where Mike Tomlin's been really good. They find ways to win. They're a mentally tough group. They find ways to finish. It's not always pretty, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? You want to get that win, and that's what you got to love about Ben. And that's what I've always appreciated, being around him, and that I learned a ton from him. Like, the dude never flinches. Even if he throws a few interceptions, he keeps playing. He comes back for the next play because you know you're always in the game with him at quarterback. So for me, and just watching that win, it was kind of like they just know how to do it, you know, and that's why a lot of people have kind of bashed them this offseason. That's why it's going to be fun to watch and see how they come together. I think there's a lot of work still needs to be done, but when you could get a big win on the road against, I mean, that's one of the top two AFC teams, everyone's saying. I think that was pretty impressive.
Well, and you can get it when your quarterback's the lowest graded PFF quarterback. You've made quite a statement, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the sticking point on that, Bruce, for I'm speaking now for like our listeners, the biggest complaint we've gotten on the grade from you guys has been, how does Aaron Rodgers get a better grade? He throws two picks. He pretty much gets benched in the game. What could Aaron Rodgers have possibly done to get a higher grade than Ben? That's the biggest complaint we've gotten in the last couple of days about you guys.
Wow. You know, and that's a good one. And, you know, when I honestly, and it's my fault for not having it in front of me because I'm on my way to practice, but I want to look into that specific situation for you because I think that's a fair point. You know, when you talk about a guy that had a couple turnovers in a sense like that, like I know Ben had a turnover-worthy play or two because I think of a few plays. But, you know, that's a good point. With Tom, like I think of Tom Brady's game on Thursday night,
yep.
Right? Brady had two picks, but neither one of his picks was his fault.
Yeah,
right?
Fournette and then a Hail Mary.
Right. So, you know, that doesn't go into his grading whatsoever. So, I mean, that's a good situation to kind of compare and, you know, and that's good you're having Steve on, too, because he explains it really well on how those things happen. Because sometimes I watch a guy, and I gave you the example for Dak Prescott. Sometimes
yep.
with Dak, he's got five big-time throws. I'm like, oh, man, I would have thought he would have been a higher-grade quarterback for us this week. But, no, when you compile everything together and then you look at certain different situations, it's like, oh, okay, well, I can see how that came about.
Gotcha. How about the Gruden offense? You played in it. He took a shot on you. He drafted you. Now it comes to town on Sunday. Tell all of our Steelers listeners and fans the key to slowing down a John Gruden offense, an offense that you know like the back of your hand, Bruce.
Yeah, you know, Gruden, I was just talking to someone today on a podcast about my time with John Gruden and his offense, and he's just such a good teacher. You know, I learned so much good football from him. Of course, he's entertaining. And I said the biggest thing, though, too, is, you know, spitting out the plays, a lot of verbiage, and getting in the huddle with Joey Galloway, Mike Allstott, Anthony Beck. I didn't want to stumble over those words. And so, you know, some of these plays I had to memorize. But I think with John Gruden's offense, you saw it the other night, a lot of shifts and motions, whole lineup in a three tight end set, boom, they shift motion. Now all of a sudden they're in an empty formation, you know, where pre-snap it looked like three tight ends, oh, they're going to run the football. Next thing you know, they shift in motion. Now it looks like a five wide receiver empty backfield formation. I thought he took some chances on third down, which was cool to see. I thought Derek Carr had a shaky first half, but, man, he exploded in the second half and into overtime, making some big plays, bringing that team back, you know, a few different times, which was cool to see. So I think coaching against him, and Mike Tomlin, look, these guys know each other.
Yeah, he coached for him.
Know, Yeah, so, like, you know, Mike Tomlin's always been the best when he plays a West Coast type of offense. You know, you got to knock them out of their rhythm. You can't, like, you know, because Derek Carr.
Bruce, who's the better quarterback in this game, Derek Carr or Ben Roethlisberger?
Oof.
Wow. That's a good well, I don't want to say it's a good question, but I think Derek Carr, statistically-wise, looks pretty. He gets it done. Just Ben's a winner. Ben's done it. He's already done it. He's proven it. So, to me, you got to lean on, you got to lean towards Ben when you're talking about that situation in itself. You know, Derek Carr, I think, played well at times last week. I think he also missed throws. You know, and just with all these guys, you know, Josh Allen last week, he's a different quarterback to prepare against than Derek Carr. Because Josh Allen, you don't know where he's going to be. He's going to scramble around. He's going to make plays. With Derek Carr, you know he's going to be on his spot in the pocket. That's where he's throwing from. So if you can knock the rhythm off of that offense and knock Carr off of his spot,
yep,
it would be just fine.
All right, Bruce, have fun with is it an in-pad practice today? Is it a day where you're just going to scream and yell and drop some F-bombs?
No, that was early in the week. You know, wow. This week I had to get after him a little bit. Today is, we used to call Fast Friday in the NFL. Now it's just Thirsty Thursday to me. We got to hydrate up, get that Gatorade and water. And this is kind of like a walkthrough type practice. We play tomorrow night.
Would you say you're a favorite or an underdog on Friday?
Underdogs. This team's 4-0. We're playing really good quarterback receivers. They spread it out. They go like five wide. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I'm excited because I think I got a good plan to start out the game.
All right, Bruce. Gonna script those 15 plays like Gruden does. You better believe it.
Spider 2 wide banana.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.